order the June 28, 2016 meeting of the Dairy Township Board of Supervisors. Everyone please rise for the pledge of allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Joe, may I have a roll call, please?
Member Matt Weir.
Here.
Member Justin Engel.
Here.
Member Susan Court.
Here.
Member John Foley.
Here.
Chairman Mark Moyer.
Here. I'd like to remind the public that all public sessions of the Township and Dairy Board of Supervisors are recorded for the purpose of creating accurate minutes. And although it's posted within the meeting room, this meeting is state recorded, again, for the purpose of providing accurate minutes, and that the board supervisors met before this meeting an executive session to discuss land, personnel, and legal issues. I'd like to invite visitor and public comments and ask that individuals who wish to address the board approach the podium, state their name and their address. And if you'd be so kind as to limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, it would be greatly appreciated.
Lisa Pascoff, and my address, 102 White Oak Drive, Lancaster, 17601.
Please proceed.
My name is Lisa Pascoff, and I'm the Executive Director of Aaron's Acres. Our board president is here as well, that's Christy Beasley. We provide year-round recreational programs to children and young adults with special needs, ages 5 to 21, in 3 counties in central PA, Berks, Dauphin, and Lancaster. Aaron's Acres was founded 18 years ago by a group of parents who were interested in having programs for their children with developmental disabilities. What started out as a one-week, half-day summer program for 11 children ages 5 to 9 in Lancaster has turned into 12 weeks of camp in 3 counties over the summer, serving 200 children ages 5 to 21, and then during the school year serving 65 children who attend monthly recreational programs. Words don't describe what goes on at our camp. Children who use wheelchairs are in the pool, lying in floats, tubes, or rafts, and no one sees the disabilities or the challenges. All one sees is a child having fun and splashing away. Children who have a trach or use a feeding tube or playing group games. Children who usually remain to themselves and have little interactions with others or chasing each other through an obstacle course. So why am I here speaking to you today? This summer, a week before our camp in Dauphin County was to begin, I was notified that this camp location was under major construction, was having pool issues. I was told that there was no running water, no electricity, there were ditches, and taped off areas due to ongoing construction, and that they would be bringing in wheelchair accessible porta potties for our children to use, as well as bottled water. To say this was a bit stressful is an understatement. So much planning and preparing had been done, and now we were told we did not have a campsite for our first session of camp, comprised of 36 campers and 34 staff members, as we have one-on-one or one-to-two staff-to-child ratio. Through a contact of ours, a meeting was scheduled with Matt Nandia and Zachary Jackson to explore the possibility of us having our first two-week session of camp at the Hershey Recreation Center. It should be pointed out that their camp program was beginning that next week as well, so they were finalizing all their plans, and now we came and threw this into the match. From the onset, both Matt and Zach were positive and most welcoming. They repeatedly said they wanted to make this work. Their attitude and willingness to do whatever was needed in order to bring our camp to the center was remarkable and greatly appreciated. This past Friday, we finished our two-week session at the Hershey Rec Center, and I must share with all of you that it was wonderful. Please keep in mind that there were over 75 people from Aaron's Acres between staff and campers that came to the center every day for those 2 weeks, along with their parents for drop-off and pickup, a music therapist, fitness-focused staff, entertainers, snakes, Zoo America, and a Zumba instructor. Everyone with whom we interacted from Dairy Township and the Hershey Recreation Center was warm, friendly, and helpful. The maintenance people were there every day asking the staff if they needed help, and of course we usually did. A water hose, an extension cord, a receptacle for garbage. The members who came to the center were unsure at first as to who we were, but soon after we were there, we heard that other kids were commenting to their parents they'd like to see what our kids were doing every day. Our staff commented to us that they felt we were part of a bigger community, and it was a very nice feeling for everyone. I'm here tonight as a representative of Aaron's Acres, expressing our gratitude for what Matt and Zachary did. Instead of canceling camp for 2 weeks, we were able to have this session, and have a session that resulted in wonderful memories for both staff and parents. Matt and Zachary no doubt stretched themselves beyond what anyone could ever want or expect. Their welcoming attitude and willingness to help us in any way that we needed was unbelievable. Of course, I could go on and on, but I think we'd always feel at a loss as to finding the right words to describe Matt and Zach's actions and how those actions impacted our campus and their families. Everyone involved with Aaron's Acres is most grateful for what they did for our community.
Your kind words, Lisa. They're greatly appreciated, and thank you for what you do and what Aaron's Acres does as well.
Can I just add that I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention Rick Russell's name?
Yes.
Because it's my understanding, I know that he reached out to almost every one of us and told us about Aaron's Acres and why this was important. So it made the call a lot softer when I'm sure Matt received it. So, but
yes.
Great job, Matt.
And you are 100% right. I'm sorry that I left his email.
Yeah.
Thank you. Are there any other individuals would like to address the board?
Mark, if I may, just very
quickly.
And I so much appreciate taking time this evening to come. But as much as you're here to thank us, we've dealt with countless camps over the years. And I say without hesitation that this is the most meaningful and impactful 2 weeks that myself and our staff have seen down there. So you guys do tremendous work, and we're just happy that we were able to be part of it. So thanks for everything you do as well.
Thank you, Matt. Anyone else? If not, we will move to the approval of the minutes from the Board of Supervisors meeting of June 14, 2016. Is there a motion to approve those minutes? Moved by Ms. Court. Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and those minutes are approved unanimously. Turning to the first item on our agenda, 1 through 12, is the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for the Mill Restaurant, flat number 1267. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. But 1267 is a plan that is at the location where our Mill Restaurant is. I say ours because I think we've all kind of come to like the Mill. What they've done is they've purchased the property adjacent to the Mill where the Mill Works used to be, where the building had burnt down. And through this plan, they're adding the two properties together. And this is kind of a substantial mark. If you can see where I'm moving the cursor, it's an odd configuration of properties to begin with. Everything to the left of where I'm moving the cursor was the Millworth property, and everything to the right was the Mill, with Old West Chocolate to the north and the railroad to the south. So as you can see, they've taken two oddly shaped properties and joined them together. This was all really done for the purpose of expanding their parking facilities. As I believe everybody's aware, they have in the past, they had purchased the Fratty site and were doing some shared parking down there to serve the restaurant. This, I believe, will better accommodate their needs. As part of this parking expansion, they've added a considerable number of spaces and some stormwater facilities, basically in a place where stormwater facilities had already existed. Oddly, that stormwater facility seems to discharge directly into bedrock and probably ends up in the quarry across the way. And that's the way that was approved when the millwork business had operated and expanded their property. So we've asked for some similar conditions related to the stormwater, and I believe that I'm comfortable saying that HRG and we are okay with that situation. They've requested some waivers as part of this plan, and their waiver is very similar to previous waivers granted for this site and for the adjacent site. They've asked, and in each case, we recommend approval. They've asked for a waiver of the street right-of-way. Old West Chocolate is 50 foot wide, our ordinance requires 60. They've asked for a waiver of the road widening to a minor road. They've asked for a waiver of providing plans and profiles of all the utilities that they're not affecting, which is a rather standard waiver. They've asked for a waiver from showing all features within 200 feet and 50 feet of the property, respectively. They did provide, end up providing a plan that does that pretty well, but I'm still recommending that we grant the waiver for lack of whatever features may exist around the property. They've asked for a waiver from providing meets and bounds for all easements, mainly for not providing duplicates for the previously recorded plans. And again, we've recommended that. The Planning Commission saw this plan on May 3rd and recommended approval. I'm also recommending approval of Plat 1267 subject to the following items. That the applicant reimburse the township for costs incurred in reviewing the plan no later than July 28th. That the following items happen no later than December 28th, 2016. That the performance security is posted. That the revised plans are signed and notarized. That the revised stormwater DMP O&M agreement is signed and notarized. That the plans are revised to remove the easement from the Norfolk Southern property, which was a comment they had left behind in the last revisions. That the plans are revised to indicate the assumed discharge point for the stormwater detention basin into the bedrock and into the quarry adjacent. That the plans are revised to correct the proposed condition related to the parking count. The plans show that the parking count is 71 spaces when in reality there's 127 spaces provided. That they provide us a digital copy of the plan, and that the applicant address all of the outstanding comments in HRG's letter dated June 13, 2016. And finally, when the plan is recorded, there should be a condition that the revised BMP is recorded concurrently with the plan and that the revised deed listing the stormwater BMPs as a restricted covenant is also recorded with the plan.
Thank you, Chuck. Are there any thoughts or comments, questions?
Yes, I have a couple. First of all, we had issues with that culvert running under the railroad from Mr. Ferrari's place over on Millard Avenue. Is this going to affect that culvert at all? I know in the past they said we weren't allowed to work on that at all, the railroad.
So. And that's still the case. That flow is not considered. I believe that culvert comes to our property. And yeah, that's something we've lived before. Tom over there? Okay. I know that Tom got chased off the railroad right away in days gone by. There's no provision here to open that.
And the other problem, so we're just running the water into a sinkhole to the quarry, basically, from that?
That's where the water has consistently gone. In looking back, Governor, if Matt recalls, but in looking back, I think that condition existed even when it was proposed as part of the plan for the mill work already. I think there's already an inlet box sitting over this injection well, I think is what they call it in Palmyra.
Oh, okay.
There was always a hole there in the pavement, and then when the mill works were redeveloped, we added a stormwater basin that tied directly into that basic hole. I know there was a dye test done, a lot of investigation previously. Could never find where that goes, but it always worked very, very well. So one of the conditions we put on it was to make sure that if that ever did fail, the area that would encompass the 100-year storm would not flood it. And so all the payment comes to the property, all the parking lot. And an easement now, so. I think it's a very localized, low spot, so there's not much more that we can do, and it works, has been working fine. I think the applicant has again taken the provisions to ensure that if it does fail, it's not going to cause any major harm.
So I was looking for that. So what we see here is the easement is the limit of, if that does fail, that would be a 100-year flow. So you can see that it's not going to really affect any other property.
Any other questions or comments?
With the best management practice, again, I noticed that the medical center, they've been planting the banks of the retention basins with plants and stuff. Is there any suggestion that they make this more of a rain garden than just a retention basin?
It is designed as a rain garden slash retention basin. There is, let's give a little bit of detail.
Well, this is the reinforced mat.
So that's the blue you're seeing is erosion matting protection. So when the water flows into there, it's not going to erode it out. There are plantings and seedings that will look like a rain garden when it's all completed. And that's part of the improvement guarantee that not only the plant the seeds, but it had to have to be established before we release that to those lots.
Anyone else? Hearing no further comments, is there a motion that the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for the Mill Restaurant, plat 1267, be approved subject to the provisions outlined by Ms. Tramer? So moved. Moved by Ms. Trangle. Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. And the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan is approved unanimously. The next item on the agenda, B1 through 3, is authorization to expand the scope of services listed in the November 14, 2014 contract agreement between Dirk and Edson Associates LLP and Derry Township for professional municipal planning services relative to the completion of the township comprehensive plan and zoning ordinance updates. Mr. Trevor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So earlier this year, we did indeed adopt the 2015 comprehensive plan, and we have been diligently working on the zoning ordinance modifications. In doing so, we've been compiling comments from the Township Planning Commission, from our original exploratory group, from the public, and from other township stakeholders who will be impacted by the revisions. During the course of these reviews, it's become evident that there may be some further mapping changes necessary as a result. Additional meetings are now anticipated related to the new concepts that are being included in the draft zoning ordinance. It's my understanding that those items were not included in the original scope for the project. Recently, Dirk and Edson has provided the change of scope that's attached to this agenda item. After they had discussed what may be necessary with environmental planning and rezoning. They presented what they believe to be a worst case not to exceed cost of $25,000 to complete the work. And the additional work. Our original scope included 14 meetings and quite frankly, I think they probably exceeded that when you think from the comprehensive plan to the zoning ordinance. I think we're probably beyond that now. I'm comfortable with the working relationship that we've had with both consultants and recommend approval of this scope change. In some discussions with Chris, I believe he believes that it's going to end short of the $25,000. The original 2014 budget for the comprehensive and zoning ordinance update was $100,000. The original contract with Dirk and Edson, environmental planning and design, and for traffic planning and design, all totaled $95,690. So with this, traffic planning and design's portion of our work was $22,190 as a not to exceed. Their contract was, in essence, terminated through the comprehensive plan. They don't play a role in the zoning ordinance. They finished up about $50 below their proposal. So in 2016, because we've dropped our budget each year as we've moved through the comprehensive plan and the zoning ordinance, in 2016, this year, we've budgeted $31,209 to complete the updates. So far in 2016, we've spent $10,708.12, leaving a balance in our budget of $20,500. At this point, Dirk and Edson in traffic planning and design have pretty much built to the limit of their not to exceed. They're about $1,000 under on their what they anticipated as actual costs for travel and things of the sort. But for their main contract, they're very close to being on the mark.
Any questions or comments for Chuck?
Just a couple of questions. has Mr. Yost signed the contract yet? Proposed contract?
I have not.
Okay. I mean, so the one concern that I have is obviously it's a $25,000 is a pretty steep jump. It's about 33% of the, actually it's like 37% of the original. And I look at the proposed contract, and it's a not to exceed, but obviously with the other one we exceeded it. So I guess my question would be, can we tighten that up so that we can be clear on what we're actually getting and not getting? I was concerned with some of the language here, and just making sure that we have all of our bases covered at this point.
I'm going to pass the mic to Chris, because we did discuss this.
We could certainly, we could change the, so to your first question, John, this would be an amendment to the existing contract, which John Yost, you did review and provide a comment on. So we're just, this is simply an amendment to the existing contract. So no contract language would change. That's why we kept it not to exceed. I would actually prefer to make it a lump sum and give you a number. My concern with that is, as you guys know, going through the zoning process, the reason we're even asking for the additions at this point is really, frankly, related to a fairly significant map change that came out of the last zoning committee meeting in April with the addition of a new district, which required a lot of map revisions, which may or may not be met with some additional or substantive revisions to the ordinance. And so we're trying to be protective against what could potentially be longer review and more modifications that result from that particular map change. So, keeping with the not to exceed fee structure, we just capped it at $25,000. Now, realistically, a lump sum fee could be much higher than that, but that's different from the original contract arrangement. So, if that's more preferable, we can certainly do that. You'll see in that original, in the language, that there was, an explicit number of meetings that were included with that. Lump sum that and say any additional meetings beyond that would be as requested on a time and materials basis based on the request at the time. We're trying to limit the amount of time if we get to a point where there are additional meetings necessary because things begin to grow beyond the scope, we don't have to continue to come back with amendment after amendment after amendment. We're trying to lump it all in. We felt fairly confident that the not to exceed 25 would get us there in the worst case scenario, as John mentioned. Now, again, cautiously optimistic. To date, I don't really have seen any. The ordinance has been out for 45 days with the amendments in it, and we do have a meeting coming up this week to talk about the master plan approval process, which was an additional scope item. Again, I don't anticipate a lot of changes coming out of that, but we were concerned as we put that in together. So that's the reason for it. That's the reason for not to exceed the certain amount of data. The lump sum is more desirable. And John Yost, if you're comfortable with that deviation in payment terms from not to exceed fee to a lump sum fee, we're comfortable with that. I would actually prefer to be a lump sum fee, in which case we can give you the actual number as opposed to a ceiling.
I just want to make sure that we went over what we had budgeted, so I just want to make sure that we're managing this
Yeah, and I think, you know, realistically, we would have been right on that number. The two hearings that are scheduled at this point, tentatively scheduled for September, are still included in that base number. And, we work with the environmental plan design. They're committed to staying the course, and there's just no additional charge. So and the base contract, if you wouldn't accept this approval, we're going to hit that fee, but that was not anticipating an additional district that was added in April. So that's the result of this discussion. And that's why there's an amendment. Without that additional map change in April, we wouldn't be having this discussion. We wouldn't be here. That's part of my trepidation. Moving forward, we're asking, as your consultant, I'm asking our sub-consultant to move forward with changes resulting from a meeting that were not part of the base scope. So that's the background for it. If we didn't have that map change, we wouldn't be having this discussion. We'd be on our schedule. I still think we're on our schedule, but there was some additional work that had been done for that map change.
Okay. And you're keeping Mr. Nagley apprised of expenditures as they go?
Bills go to him directly.
Jeff, what was, so 2014, 100,000 budget, is that right?
That's what we were anticipating for the project.
I recall. So in 2015, what was budgeted?
In 2015, we had spent some of the 2014 funds. I didn't want to put all those numbers in this report, but I do have them, so can you just one second?
Yeah, because what I'm curious about is what's been budgeted over the past 3 years and what we spent over the past.
So in 2015, we budgeted 84,000. We spent 60. We spent 76. We spent 76. We had $6,078.84 left out of our $84,000 budget.
Okay, and what did we spend in 2014?
In 2014, we budgeted 85. We spent 22.
I thought we budgeted 100.
Well, we anticipated 100.
Okay, great. We signed a contract for you.
Yeah. We spent $22,490, but that was with.
I remember. Yeah, you don't have to.
So then, 2016. So this year, as I said in my report, we budgeted $31,209. To date, we've spent $10,708.
Okay, so we're well under budget on the whole project.
We're getting right there. Yeah.
From my discussion earlier today, Chuck, we were a couple hundred dollars under budget right now.
Right.
On the entire project.
Right. Yes.
Okay, so what in 2015 did you say what was budget in 2015? I heard
14.
That, but was that number correct?
2015 was 84, yes. 84,000. So the contract with I apologize, this is confusing. The contract with EPD and Dirk and Edson was for $71,000.
Okay.
With $2,500 in expenses.
Okay.
Okay. But then on top of that, we had $22,190 budgeted with traffic planning and zoning.
Right.
So our total exposure between the contracts was $95,690.
Okay.
That was 2015?
2014 when we signed the contract. So to date, and here's really the number you're asking, I think. So the contracts total $95,690. To date, we've spent $89,610.66 when you back out the $5,000 that we have for traffic planning.
Well, my numbers aren't working, but if you look at 3 years of budget amounts, are we not over $200,000 in budget dollars for the comp plan and zoning questions?
Yes, but we didn't spend it.
That's right. But we're well over 210,000 in budgeted amounts. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. But we're not really close to that in terms of expenditures, are we?
No, the expenditures were about 95.
Okay. That's right.
And the reason being is the first year we budgeted the entire amount.
Understood.
And then we backed it down. And by this year, we tried to hit what was left in the contract and leave some money for other things that are going to be involved, advertising and so on.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I understand. Thanks.
John, any other questions? Just so we're clear, you're now saying that we had 210,000 budgeted
Well, if you had told, if you had told off what was budgeted in each year, we
but
had.
It wasn't spent, so the 210.
Right, but it wasn't spent.
Right.
It's the way we budget. We need to provide for, if that contract would have finished in 2015, I needed that money in the budget to pay the consultants. But the contract went on to 2016. So in 2016, I budgeted a lesser amount that I felt would get us through the project. So it's not, we can't accumulate the budget numbers.
So it's a calendar year budget issue,
yes,
as opposed to overall expenditures compared,
correct,
to the budget.
Correct. I mean, if you look at the, if you look at the bottom line, we contracted for, you know, initially for $95,700. To date, we've spent, $94,610 out of a $95,690 budget. The difference really being the $1,000 that's still within the Dirk and Edson's budget number for outside expenses for tracking.
So in other words, your conclusion that we're bumping up against budget numbers is the 2016 budgeted numbers.
That's correct. I'm trying to live with
not the overall budgeted numbers.
That's we have a lot of anxiety over budgets and community
development. Well, that's precisely what
I'm saying.
From the summary, I don't think that information is clear at all.
I apologize. For
so, I mean, that's...
I do apologize for that. It was tough to get down numbers that make sense. If you try now.
So, just for the record, we're at budget right now, correct?
We are at contract budget.
Okay.
Yes. However, my budget for 2016 for the project still has $20,000 left in it.
Okay, and then we're asking, you're going to have that, and are you asking for an additional 25?
No. But so far as contracts, we're up to contract. If I'm going to pay a consultant any more money, the contract needs to change.
Understood. So is the, so then should we be increasing the budget really by $4,500 and changing the contract by $25,000? Is that the essence of what's
occurring? That is the essence, yes.
Okay. I guess. Anybody else have those questions?
Oh, yeah.
Am I the only, okay.
No, I apologize. If you try to add this stuff up, it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
Any other questions?
One more question on numbers. Could you just confirm again, what's the total amount that's been spent?
It is $94,610.66. There is a typo in the three fourth.
And that includes what was paid to the original contractor that we no longer use.
That
doesn't. It does not. Okay. So. Okay. Good. All right. Thank you.
If there are no further questions, do I have a motion that the Board of Supervisors approve the May 23rd, 2016 addendum to the November 25th, 2014 contract between Dirk and Edson Associates, LLP, and Terry Township.
I would simply offer, Mr. Chairman, that we also have council review this.
Absolutely. Thank you for adding that. Subject to John Yost's review.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel. I will second the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. Turning to items C1 through C6, approval of resolution 1472, authorizing the Chocolate Town Square Park Improvements Project grant application to the Commonwealth Financing Authority's Greenways, Trails, and Recreation Program, administered by the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development.
Mrs. Hunter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This this project is actually going back to an application that we submitted last year.
Thank you.
For improvements at Chocolatown Square through the Commonwealth Financing Authority's program. These applications were supposed to be announced last September. Because of all of the tie-ups with the budget, we learned that this Friday is likely the earliest that we'll hear back on those. We're now into their next funding cycle. Those applications are due Thursday. So we're looking to get another application in so essentially we can kind of stay in the funding pipeline. Last year, we had requested the maximum grant award amount, which was $250,000 for... We requested $250,000 for the improvements that are shown in Area A up there. This was when we were focusing on the initial park space. I think since then, the Downtown Hershey Association, in partnership with what Matt and his group have been able to program in that space, you know, we've recognized that that area is really functioning well as it currently exists. Because of that, we're shifting the focus over to Area C, which we feel is the area that needs really the most improvement, the most work. We're working through some planning on that with the Downtown Hershey Association Design Committee, but what you see currently is what was planned for in the Downtown Hershey Master Plan. I've been able to work with Chris to identify a project scope that hits the original budget. The total budget for the project is $350,000. We would be requesting $250,000 and applying a $100,000 match. That funding would come from fee in lieu of monies. In the event that the original application is funded, this one would probably get pulled back. If the original one is not funded, then at least we get to stay in the pipeline. So a resolution is required in order to submit that application, and that resolution designates Chairman Moyer and Secretary Engel as the officials to execute documents.
Any questions or comments?
So if the original good one gets approved, the thought is that it gets moved somehow, gets moved over.
Right. So if the original one is approved, we would likely be trying to work with DCED to shift the funds to the other portion of the park.
And are there any plans for, if that happened, what exactly the improvements would be for Area C? I know there was some talk about raising the bed and
right.
to overload the traffic and
right.
sort of a lot of nice green space.
So currently, this is still pretty conceptual in nature, but we are looking to elevate it, bring it up. You'll see the kind of orangish color there are actually sections of balustrade to match the balustrade that we see on the community center. We have included the steps up to that elevated brick plaza, the brick plaza itself, and then the grading and seating work that's required for that. And of course, your stormwater and ENS, which sure. is necessary.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Absent any further questions, do I have a motion to pass Resolution 1472 to request Greenways, Trails, and Recreation Program grant $250,000 to provide matching funds in the amount of $100,000 and to designate the Chairman and Secretary of Darien Township Board of Supervisors as the officials to execute all documents between the Township of Darien and the Commonwealth Financing Authority. So moved. Moved by Mr. Foley.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion passes unanimously. Item D1 through 3, authorization to install an 18-hole disc golf course at Schenck Park. Mr. Mendia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought I would start out with trying to identify what the heck this golf is. Its name, obviously, it's golf using a disc. Instead of clubs and balls in golf, you use frisbees of different sizes and weights. Instead of 18 holes, there's 18 baskets that are placed throughout the park. Much like golf, there's a par for each hole or basket. And much like golf, once again, depending on if you play 9, 18, or whatever agreed upon number of holes, the fewest throws to the basket at the end added up. Is the winner. So it's kind of a really neat offering that really services individuals, groups, families, and can also host competitive tournaments and those types of things. So it really does cover everyone. The concept of the disc golf course we considered for many years, actually, as far back as 12 years ago, we started talking about the concept of a disc golf course. And recently, we were approached by a resident who walks at Shank Park quite often and saw some folks throwing discs around the park at either trees with ribbons on them or other objects that they have placed through the park and basically made a makeshift disc golf course at Shank Park themselves. So this individual was speaking with them, and after speaking with them, they approached the department and asked if they would fully fund the baskets, the tee pads, and the signage. Would the department be willing to consider the concept of putting a course in at Shank Park? So upon that, we started compiling a group of pretty avid disc golf folks in our community and surrounding communities, in addition to the state director of disc golf tournaments, who is pretty experienced, and I learned a lot. But he actually walked the 18 holes with us the fourth time. We actually walked that course three times and had him come along this past Friday, just to make sure that what we were proposing made sense in terms of what, you know, is expected in disc golf courses in terms of the layout, the terrain, the challenging aspects of it. So I laid a copy of the most recent course layout. It really isn't that much different than what was in your agenda that I sent out last week, but there were a few little changes that I had indicated that I would provide for you. If you notice, very intentionally, we put the baskets around the perimeter of the park. Our main concern was that adding another amenity at Shank Park, we wanted to ensure that we weren't going to impact any of the existing, both active and passive uses of our one of our most heavily used parks up there. So that includes ball fields, the nature trail in the woods, and all of the amenities that we currently have. So we were very deliberate and very aware of the placement of those to ensure that we're not going to be impacting those amenities. I also included some pictures and some other information at your seat there of what the baskets look like, of what the tee boxes could look like. It's a rubber matting, as well as examples of the signage that other disc golf courses around the Commonwealth and quite frankly, on the East Coast have used in the past. Our intention is to really create a quality discourse for the community, and I want it to look very nice and set in nicely in the park, and I think we've met that goal with what we're proposing. The budget for this is actually was a typo in there. It's not to exceed $15,000. I had 17 on the agenda item. Once again, that would be fully funded by this resident who wishes to remain anonymous at this time. Our contribution to the project would be the installation of the baskets, the signs, and the tee boxes, which we can absorb within our parks budget. So at this time, we're just asking authorization to go ahead and install this facility, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that the board might have.
Any questions, Amanda?
So just, yeah, it's this is really exciting. This is going to be a neat amenity. If there's more wooden holes than I would have thought.
There are.
Has anybody comment on that? I mean, it'll be fun, but...
No, there was, I think the main concern in there, even 12 years ago when we brought this concept up, was how does that mesh with the nature trail?
Yeah.
And once again, we were very careful in terms of where they were placed. We originally had lined them up with the power lines. Mm-hmm. But with the tough terrain and the uncertain maintenance of underneath those lines, we felt that the course might be unplayable for those three or four holes underneath the lines for a fair amount of time during the year. So we ended up moving them back into the wooded areas. So I think those holes also offer some pretty unique challenges.
Yeah, I mean, I've never played on a course like that. Yeah. Some of these holes are directly in the woods.
Yes.
Right?
So yes.
Yeah, interesting. High scores.
Any other questions?
So what is the ground disturbance? Is this what drill hole for the baskets, we're going to call it?
That's correct. So we would auger, I don't know the diameter, but we'd auger holes below frost line and put the sleeve in. And then other than that, it's just the holes that we auger for the signposts and the tee box areas is basically a flush mount rubber matting on the ground, so that's very limited.
Any projection on use?
I think it's going to be heavily used. I really do. Based on just the enthusiasm of this group, and they have hundreds of people that are involved with their organizations already and know them. There's other folks that have indicated that their kids are already excited about it. And I know it was mentioned in the paper a few weeks back when we were talking about it at our meeting here. So I think there's a fair interest in it. Yeah.
Any other questions? If not, do I have a motion to authorize the installation of disc golf course at Shane Park?
So moved.
I'll
second.
Yes.
Moved by everyone and seconded by everyone. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, and the motion is granted unanimously.
Thank you.
E1 and 2 is a request by the Hershey Entertainment and Resorts Company to hold the 7th Annual Hershey Half Marathon on Sunday, October 16, 2016, at 7:30 a.m. Chief?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this event obviously is an annual event that's held in our jurisdiction and has become quite popular. And I do have Matt Bennett here from Hershey Entertainment and Resorts as we're represented in case there are any questions in reference to the race. Obviously, this encompasses a large area. There's some state routes that are involved, 733, 422, Hershey Park Drive, several areas that are state-owned, so we'll need some permits for those. I think over the years, Officer Shank, who runs this event, has become fairly versed in staffing the event, controlling the track control points, and making it run fairly smooth as smooth as we can in conjunction with folks of the HDNR. I believe Matt's crew has already reached out to the ministerium because it does affect some of the services. They have a letter from the ministerium that they realize the event is an annual event and that they'll kind of work in conjunction with us and collaborate and try to make things as best we can for the parishioners. So if there are any other questions involved with it, one of the two of us will try to answer them.
Thank you, Chief. The annual question of costs attributed to the township.
We try to use as much on-duty personnel as we can, get some volunteers from local fire police and auxiliary police. But we do incur some costs for overtime rates from other departments coming in to help out with those traffic control posts. They have already signed the acknowledgement that they will need to provide reimbursement for any overtime costs.
Thank you. And the ministerium, any negative feedback? Everything going well with that coordination that liaison?
As far as I know, Matt, do you have anything to add to that? Or?
No. I mean, currently everything's been in communication. We've been offered and plan to attend their meetings as we get closer to them.
Okay. Again, as usual, I encourage a close, coordinated effort and liaison in that regard. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? If not, do I have a motion to hold the 7th Annual Hershey Half Marathon on Sunday, October 16th, 2016, starting at 7:30 a.m.?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion is granted unanimously. Item F1 and 2, requesting to conduct the 2016 Bent and Tim Day 5K race on Saturday, August 27th, 2016, starting at 9 a.m. Chief?
Mr. Chairman, this item was supposed to be on the last meeting. Unfortunately, it skipped by me an email, so I'm bringing it in for this meeting. This is an annual event. Obviously, it's the 25th annual event, this 5K run. All the roadways that are used for this event are township-owned roadways, so there will be no need for a PennDOT permit in changed the route a few years ago, which made it a little bit better for the runners and for us as far as traffic control. So it's working actually a little bit better over the last few years. We do mainly use on-duty personnel. There might be a few that we have to call in off-duty for overtime. Mr. Pricky has already acknowledged that he understands if there's any additional costs that are incurred because of the traffic control that they would have to reimburse for that.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions or comments?
Yeah, just to clarify, to get something on the record, we do not charge for this race, is that correct?
Normally, yeah, it would be something unusual where we would have some over-the-top costs.
Okay.
We would at least ask for partial reimbursement from this event.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that we had come to that determination in past years because really the township was part of actually creating this race.
We
all fees. So, yeah, okay. So we will waive all fees this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure. Approach the microphone.
I'm actually at Mr. Fricky tonight. he's actually in France right now with his wife, so he sent me. My name is Mike Constantino. I'm a part of the board for Bennington Bay. And basically, on behalf of the American Board, I'd like to thank you guys for your continued support of our event. This past year, we gave away 12 different scholarships, totaling $18,000 to seniors graduating from Hershey. This year, we're hoping to make it $25,000 for the 25th annual. So.
Well, thank you for that information. Any other questions or comments? If not, do I have a motion that the request to conduct the 2016 Benetton Day 5K race on Saturday, August 27, 2016, starting at 9 a.m. over various township roadways on a route approved by the Derry Township Police Department to be approved? So second. Moved by Ms. Court, seconded by Mr. Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion is granted unanimously. Turns our agenda to correspondence and boarding committee information. I'd like to start with my left with Susan.
Thanks, Mark. Tomorrow, Supervisor Foley, Supervisor Rear, and I are all attending the People Movers luncheon to honor those volunteers. So we're looking forward to participating in that and celebrating all the great work they do in our community. Last week, Lauren, we had the honor of speaking at the Pennsylvania Downtown Center, and Lauren and I spoke about the importance of partnerships and economic development in communities such as ours. And it's a big hit. Of course, the fact that Lauren handed out chocolate before we spoke was, I think,
might have helped.
But we'll go into that further other times. In terms of other things that personally I've been working on, there was a tax association meeting last week. Represented the township at the opening of the Hershey Conservatory. And I'd just like to say a special thanks to Jim, because this weekend, Friday night, Saturday, Monday, I had some concerns from residents, and he always answers the call no matter what day of the week or what time of night it is. But I just thought I'd just give you a special thank you for always responding and getting staff involved when needed to make sure our residents have their concerns taken care of in a very timely and thoughtful manner. So thank you very much.
Matt?
On Saturday, the municipal authority had a rain barrel workshop in conjunction with the county. There were about 80 people in attendance, 40 of which were residents of the township. And, the opportunity was used again to inform the residents about the stormwater program that's being instituted. There will be another public meeting coming up in late July or early August about stormwater. Look for an announcement to date, time, and placement for that. Let's see. That's about all I have.
Thank you. I'd like to bring up an issue. Last week, I believe, if I recall correctly, we discussed the Wood Road crossing across Oakmont, and that the engineering had been done on that and the particular approach. Been approved by the board, and we spoke about the need to identify funding sources, and I believe confirmation of sufficient funding has been achieved in terms of identifying the fundings for that. We've already received in the form of a fee in lieu of and other funding sources, Jim?
Yes.
Yep. As roadway improvement monies. And so I would like to put the scope of services on next week's agenda for the board's review and possible approval so that we can move forward with that project as expeditiously as possible. That's not to say that the Gramercy Place crossing has been put on the back burner in any respect. There's a few milestones that we need to achieve before that is put into operation as well, but since I think we're in line and have our ducks in order, so to speak, for the Wood Road crossing, I think we ought to take advantage of the timing of that and put that on our next agenda. If anybody has any thoughts or comments about that or disagreements, please let me know.
No, just that I think the scope of services actually has to be created.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's all I have. John?
Continue to have ongoing meetings with regard to the capital campaign for the new firehouse. Also attended the most recent fire company meeting, went into the wee hours of 12:47 a.m. It was a wonderful evening. So we continue to work on the projects with the fire department and also their staffing and equipment needs. I also attended the conservatory opening, which is a great opportunity to share that magnificent facility. So that was a very nice event. Glad I got to go to that. Also attended the most recent ICDA meeting as we look at restructuring lots of debt with the township via the ICDA. So that's an ongoing process, but I think long-term will have tremendous impact on the financial structure of our township. And last but not least, we continue to have virtually every major roadway under construction. So bear with us. My phone was ringing the last couple days on Cocoa Avenue. So the milling is kind of going on almost everywhere. And we're looking at the roundabouts over on 322 by Little Hershey's campus, progressing very well. 422 is milled, so we're looking forward to some paving there, and the milling has been completed on Cocoa Avenue. So big projects, long-term needs, and lots of progress. So just bear with us. It's bumpy. So no pun intended, but anyway, that concludes my report.
Thank you, John. Justin?
Chuck, you can talk about the meeting on the 30th or Chris, I'm sorry.
Nothing. Jim?
Brought up the people movers, and I'd like to make particular note about the passing of Mark Van Zandt. Mark Van Zandt was the president of the people movers for many years. He was a pleasure, a true gentleman to work with, and the community was sadly with Mr. Van Zandt.
Thank you, Jim. Turning to reports, Chief, anything to report?
The only thing I have is we're coming up on our 50th anniversary for the inception of the police department on July 1st. July 9th, we will be holding a public event at the station. I believe, and I'm remiss about having the exact times, but I believe it's from 4 to 8 in the afternoon, evening. There will be some static displays of specialty vehicles, some light refreshments, some tours of the station, of that nature. We are actually rolling out a anniversary badge that hopefully will be here on July 1st. And the officers will each get one of those badges to wear for 1 year to commemorate the 50 years of the Dare Township.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Dillon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've been taking advantage of this nice weather lately and doing a lot of training within the department. And last night for our drills, we had gone to one of the neighborhoods, set up all our rigs, our hoses, and just started throwing water, watching all the kids come out from the neighborhood, running around and having a blast. So that was nice. That's all I have.
Thank you. Barbara.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In an effort to serve our community in the best possible way, We did a kickoff this week of Get Smart at the library. We're encouraging everyone in the community to use their smartphones and to put their barcode, their library card barcode, into their smartphones so that they never leave home without it. And while we're discussing the library, I wanted to thank publicly again the Rotary that has shown up at the library twice now to help us out with some volunteer work. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you. I have nothing this evening.
Matt?
Nothing this evening. Thanks.
Thank you. Chris?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple updates on the transportation front. John mentioned a number of projects going on. John and Justin and I had a meeting with HRG last Thursday to get an update on the progression of the Chocolate Avenue streetscape plans. Lauren's going to give you a bit more update on some of the funding related to that. But just as a point of reminder for this board, work has stopped on the post office project side. I'm sure everyone noticed that. There has been a new developer's expressed some interest in the middle of the due diligence period. We understand that may have some impact, frankly, lightening some of the traffic impacts of that project, which could have an impact on the nature of the improvements along the frontage there. So we actually have a meeting scheduled this coming Thursday with that potential developer to explore those options. Sorry, Wednesday, excuse me, it's Wednesday, tomorrow. It's on the calendar. To discuss the impact of those potential changes and improvements and how they may or may not want to participate in that public occupancy permit for that work. So that is progressing very well. Also, I mentioned when we were talking about the zoning ordinance, as we discussed at the Planning Commission meeting at the beginning of June, there was a lot of questions related to the master plan approval process, which is very new in the zoning ordinance. So with Chuck's guidance, we organized an additional meeting to discuss that process specifically. It's scheduled for this Thursday, starting at 5:30 at the Hershey Public Library, the community room over there. We'll have someone really interesting panel of folks to discuss that with us. That panel consists of Matt Cream, who's an attorney with Nicholas Owendale, A.J. Schwartz from Environmental Planning Design, myself. We'll also have Eric Stump there from HRD to represent traffic interests, and a gentleman by the name of Lou Marquette, who is from the Leyland Alliance, who does master planning communities in the northeast region of the United States. So that will start at 5:30. We'll have some networking and then an introduction, and then we'll have the meeting for until 8 o'clock. So if you're interested, please come out and join us. It'll be a fairly informative discussion of the master plan approval process and the evolution of master planning as a planning tool nationally.
And again, Chris, that's June 30th, Thursday, June 30th.
Correct.
And the location again?
At the Hershey Public Library, 5:30 p.m.
Very good. When then will be the next opportunity for public input after that meeting?
Fortunately, Chuck handed me this lovely cheat sheet here. Our next, at this point then, we would have the month of July to do some rework on comments, final staff review the week of August 1st, and our 45-day time window would start early August. Our next Planning Commission meeting is scheduled for September 6th, 9-6, and then it would come before the Board of Supervisors here, September 27th meeting.
Okay, and along that process, if there are thoughts or comments and suggestions as to modifications to the ordinance in its current form, how and when would they be implemented and or reviewed or integrated into perhaps a revised ordinance?
So all along we've been gathering inputs at the June 2nd Planning Commission meeting. Those comments have been going through community development. We're curating those comments. And just like when we did the comprehensive plan, we'll be issuing Janelle took great minutes at that meeting. So we're going to issue a response. Certain comments that were made are already addressed. They're just addressed in different sections of the ordinance. Where changes need to be made, we'll document those changes and track those changes. We've made a commitment to the Planning Commission that the next time they see the ordinance, they'll be very easily able to see where changes have occurred. So we'll continue to make those changes in the next, say, 30 to 45 days as comments come in, until we get to the point where we reissue the document and advertise it for adoption. So those comments will be open and incorporated to the extent that they make good planning sense and are consistent with the comprehensive plan over the next 45 days. Once that gets locked in and advertised, then it's in the official hearing process and no changes will be made until we have a public hearing with the folks.
Chris, if you and Chuck could identify the exact kind of date that you'd like to close commenting, then Jill and I can make sure that residents know that. That way we don't get, you know, some valuable comments past the point where they can be useful.
So since we're working up to our public hearing in front of the Board of Supervisors on September 27th, that's, you know, really the last public input period prior to the hearing. We'd love, and we'll try and incorporate any comments that we get ahead of that time. The ordinance that we'd like to release for the Planning Commission meeting will be completed on August 9th. So by the end of July would be a good time if you're going to provide major written comments. But comments can keep coming in, on into your public hearing.
So your preference would be to get them
in? If they want to be incorporated, that's kind of the difference.
Okay, good.
You know, if they want to truly consider it and incorporate it into the ordinance, the end of July would work.
I think that's, let's just set that, that's okay.
Yeah.
Just to put that to bed, we could say end of July.
I just hate for someone to send something in thinking, well, we haven't seen it yet, so therefore it's still okay, and then the later time to thought and incorporate that, because this has been such a great collaborative process. I just want to make sure we're communicating that end date.
And as you know, comments come in every day.
Exactly.
I was copied on comments to you today, right?
Really,
which they've already been distributed.
Thank you.
To this office.
Okay. Thank you. Matt?
I think Diane.
Chuck?
I do have a couple of things. I need to set two hearing dates for other business. The one is for our official map. That'll be to the Planning Commission in July. I would like to schedule the public hearing for that for August 9th, 6 o'clock. And then for our communication, antennas and towers ordinance. If you recall, that was on your agenda for a public hearing previously. We were bombarded by a group of telecommunication people. We've since modified the ordinance. It's been back and forth through them. We'd like to present that in the form of a public hearing on August 23rd. That would be the second meeting in August, 6 o'clock.
I do have a conflict on the 9th. Just putting it out there. Sorry, vacation.
No, that's all good. If you have a burning interest to be part of the official map, I'll be happy to reschedule it.
And that's a supervisor's 8-9 is a supervisor's meeting.
Yes.
I think you mentioned planning commission.
And when you say
planning commission,
be a part of it. What are you referring to, Chuck? Just
well, if he wants to be able to vote on it.
Okay.
I'll chat with
you. Okay.
I'll see what I need to know.
And so tentatively, we set these dates.
Is everyone okay with tentatively setting those dates?
And we set it just the exact session if we have to.
I mean,
vacation's vacation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Tentatively set those dates.
Okay.
Thanks.
Under our property maintenance initiative, our foreclosure registration, I'm happy to report that we have 9 out of... first of all, I'm happy to report that last month we had 39 foreclosed properties in the township. This month we have 34 foreclosed properties in the township. So that's heading in the right direction. Of those 34, 9 of them have registered with the program, and we just received our first payment from Community Champions of $500. If you recall, we're trying to use that as seed money towards other property maintenance initiatives. I did have a court case scheduled today for the property on Hoppersville Road, but that was continued due to a chemotherapy schedule. I'm also happy to report that we've had our new code officer report for work, Mick Schrader. He started on June 13th. He's a resident of Middletown, actually Lower Scudero Township. Lower Scudero Township. He's a retired Harrisburg City firefighter, having served for over 24 years there. He served as fire marshal and assistant fire marshal in Middletown for 23 years. Is qualified to instruct fire safety courses, water and ice rescue, and possesses 8 of the UCC credentials that are necessary for the job that he has with us. So we're happy to welcome him aboard. He's been here 2 weeks and It's going well. And then in the month of May, we issued 32 building permits, 4 demolition permits, 38 zoning permits. We've completed 174 building code inspections, and we've done 36 property maintenance inspections.
Thank you, Chuck. Any questions or comments? Okay. Lauren?
Just to pick up where Chris left off on the streetscape, we, going back to December, had applied to PennDOT through their multimodal transportation fund for roughly $2.8 million on that project. We were initially told that we would hear in spring. They've now bumped that to summer. Realistically, we probably won't hear until that there's a budget. The Commonwealth Financing Authority has a similar program. It's also funded through Act 89, which is the state transportation bill. Those applications are due at the end of July. Also requires a 30% match. So I wanted to make you aware of that opportunity, and my recommendation would be that we pursue both programs, if you're okay with me moving forward with an application for that.
Any opposition to that? I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
Mark,
thank you.
Please do so. Anything else? Okay.
Thank
Jill?
I just wanted to let the board know that I've reached out to PP&L twice over the last several months on the power line upgrade in South Point in Hummelstown, and they've completed the preliminary work and the survey, but they have not yet better defined the project. So at this time, there's nothing to report to residents, but I will update the website on that and let you know when I hear anything further.
I appreciate that. By way of background, I asked Joe to do that. There's a concern that if PP&L obviously augments its power line capabilities, that the easement may be affected and a lot of people's backyards being affected in terms of what is in their backyard. So there was some legitimate concern by the property owners as to what is going on. They were notified that PP&L is anticipating a potential upgrade, and they asked us to check in with PP&L to see what the possible ramifications of that would be to their properties. Okay. All right, if there's nothing else, I'd like to have a motion to approve accounts payable in the amount of $608,187.02 and payroll in the amount of $346,992.62.
So moved.
I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And those approvals are granted unanimously. This brings us to our second visitor and public comment session. If anyone would like to address the board supervisors, I ask that you approach the podium, state your name and address, and if you'd be so kind to limit your comments to 3 minutes.
Hi, Rick Kim. I'll just rise and begin in support of the disc golf. In 1999, somebody approached the Department of Veterans Affairs and presented as a therapy for traumatic brain injury and spinal cord injury. So we installed a nine-hole disc thing, and it's amazing. We adapted it for wheelchair accessibility too. If you look in the 01 coastal, it looks like the O'Hara Airport with all the ramps and runways, but it definitely has some benefits. And like I said, it's a therapy as well as an entertainment. So I think it's a great add to the community for those people with traumatic brain injuries and other neurological disorders that they could have some activity also. So it's a great addition to the park.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Anyone else? Is there anything else for the good of the order? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. So moved by Mr. Foley. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And this meeting is adjourned.